John chapter 20. John chapter 20, verses 6 through 8. If you have a Bible, you can open there and read along with me. John chapter 20, verses 6 through 8. When you have it, say amen. If you believe what it says, say hallelujah. Hallelujah. John chapter 20, verses 6 through 8. And the Bible says, "Then Simon Peter came, following him, and went into the tomb, and he saw the linen clothes lying there, and the handkerchief that had been around his head, not lying with the linen clothes, but folded together in a place by itself. Then the other disciple who came to the tomb first went in also, and he saw and believed." If you believe that, say amen.
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 You praise God this morning?
Amen.
Okay, I thought you guys came to worship today. Will you praise God this morning? Amen?
Amen.
Yes, yes, wonderful, wonderful. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. It's good to be here today. And, you know, it's our custom to have this short homily before we go to our communion. So let's start with that as soon as possible. But let me first say that I want to say welcome to those who are here in the house of prayer. And of course, those who are watching online right now, and probably some of members who are going to watch this on some other point. But we want to say welcome to them. Thank you so much for being here with us. Okay, today is a special day. It is Sabbath, the day of the Lord. It's communion day. But also, it is a autism awareness day. I don't know how many of you were aware of that. It's autism awareness day, global awareness day. And if you notice, I'm wearing blue. You know, we're supposed to wear white tie, but yes, I can't prepare with that. But blue is the color of the day. So if you are wearing blue, it means that you are supporting those who are dealing with this condition now during the world, you know, the world. Just here in the United States, there's about 200,000 cases of autism every year, just here in the States. Very interesting. So I want to ask you to pray for those who are facing this condition, a family like myself, who are dealing with that right now. But we know that God is good, and He's good all the time, and He is also worthy of all praise and worship. So, but it's difficult for us to worship when things are not going so well. I mean, it's tough to come to a place and just worship God when we know that it's kind of hard. It's difficult to do it. Before we get into our topic for today, let me just share with you our hashtag for the day. I know some of you are waiting for that. There you have it. Today, hashtag is A Reason to Worship, which is our title for today. Communion Sabbath, that's what we're going to do today. Communion Sabbath, Teach and Preach, which is our theme for the year. And Sabbath in Troy. It is good to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. Now, let me ask you something. Do you have a reason to worship?
Yes.
Do you really have a reason to worship? Yes. Even when things are not going so well, do you still have a reason to worship?
Yes.
Praise God. Praise God. A reason to worship. And I want you to go back to our scripture for this morning, and we're gonna speak on that subject, a reason to worship. Is there on the screen? Let me just read it to you once again. And this version says this: "Then Simon Peter came, followed him, and went into the tomb, and he saw the linen clothes lying there, and the napkin." I know you have another version who says something else, but the napkin, in this version says, the napkin that had been around his head, not lined with a linen cloth, but folded together in a place by himself. Then the other disciple who came to the tomb first went in also, and he saw and believed. Very interesting. Very interesting. Now, today I'm going to speak about a reason to worship. But when you see, when you read this, it's like, what is the pastor going to talk about? What do we have to worship here when we see this? What do we have to worship? Well, if you recall, when you read this chapter 20 of John, it's very interesting because Jesus was dead. He was in the tomb. It was Sunday. And when you read chapter 20, verse 1, the Bible said that Mary Magdalene came early morning. She got up early morning to see Jesus, right? You guys remember that? She got up really early in the morning because she wanted to see Jesus. So the disciples were really concerned. They were sad among themselves because their friend was gone. The master was no longer with them. So in this midst of situation, it's hard to worship. And Ellen G. Wise says that the Sabbath came and Jesus was resting on the tomb, right? It was a Sabbath day. It was a day of worship. But the disciple was so concerned about what happened to Jesus that they did not worship on Sabbath. Are you getting what I'm saying? Sabbath is a day of worship, right? It's a day that we come together and worship God. It's the day of the Lord. So we're supposed to worship God. It doesn't matter who you are, how you feel. Today is the day that we worship God, right? Now, the disciples knew this. On Sabbath day, we're supposed to worship God. But the master was gone. Jesus was not there. And Ellen G. Wise says that they were sad, sorrowful. It was so hard for him to understand that his friend was no longer with them. What do you do when you see or when you think that Jesus is not with you? What do you see? What do you do? How do you act when things are not going well? When all the things that you are hearing is just bad news. And it looked like Jesus is not there with you. I mean, when we call Jesus and he's not answering us. When we call Jesus, we pray to him and we still struggle with the same thing over and over again. How you feel when your friend who was supposed to be with you all the time, every day, he's not there for you? It is a difficult time to worship when you don't see that Jesus is near you. Some of you probably recall what happened a year ago, probably not even a year ago, at South Carolina in Charleston, that church, black church, were doing a prayer meeting. You guys remember that? We were doing a prayer meeting. Wednesday night prayer meeting. And Bible study. You know, we're doing Bible study. Prayer, Bible study. And this guy came to the church and killed 9 people. You guys remember that, right? He killed 9 people, including the pastor of the church. This happened on Wednesday night prayer meeting. But Sunday came. And you know what happened? The church gathered together again to worship God. I don't know if you follow me. But in the midst of darkness, they are still worshiping. In the midst of death, they came together and said, we need to talk about life. In the midst of darkness, they came out today and said, we need to preach about the life of Jesus. It is difficult to worship when tragedy is around you. It is difficult to worship when everything is just bad news and sadness. Yet this church came out on Sunday morning and worshiped. The disciples knew that the day of the Lord was the Sabbath. They knew they were supposed to worship on that day. But they were sad and concerned because their friend was not there with us. Can you read this again? Mary Magdalene came early in the morning to see Jesus. And then she went to the tomb. I'm speaking from chapter 20 of John. She came early in the morning. She went to see Jesus one more time. And she came and she was wondering on her way to the tomb, how she going to be able to enter. Because you guys remember there was guards at the tomb, right? And they have put this big rock covered the tomb. But by the time she reached the tomb, what happened with the stone? Was no longer there, right? It was moved. But as soon as she saw that, what's going on here? The rock is not in the tomb. And she went back to the disciples. You guys remember that? Yeah. She went back to the disciples and she said, what is going on? They have taken the Lord's body. They took the body and we don't know where they are. We don't know. And she is concerned now. So the disciples are concerned. And they said, we got to go back and check what's going on. So Peter and John said, well, let's go back and find out. And the Bible says that they start running. They were running because they want to see what happened. And that's when this text come to place. Simon Peter came, follow him whom? John. John and Peter were there. And they went to the tomb and saw the linen clothes lying there. Peter saw the linen clothes lying there. And the napkin that had been around Jesus' head, it was in a different place. Separate. Folded. And the Greek says, neatly folded. Very interesting. Now, you might say, well, Pastor, what that have to do with worship? Well, we're going to find out soon. Because, see, Jesus was gone. But we still need to have a reason to worship. And today, I just want to share with you some reasons why I believe today we need to worship. The question is, do you have a reason to worship? Do you have a reason to worship God? Let me say to you first that, you know, when we go back to this text in the Bible, it says very clear that Peter came first. He went to the tomb and he saw the napkin there. He saw the linen clothes and the napkin was there. But what have to do with salvation? What does that have to do with me today? First, allow me to say that we serve a God who is patient. You didn't get that? Allow me to say this morning that we serve and worship a God who is patient with us. He is patient with me. I don't know about you, but he is patient with me. Go back to the text. We don't have time to read all the chapter in 20, chapter 20 of John. But when you read, the Bible says that Mary Magdalene get up early in the morning. She want to see Jesus in the tomb. But Jesus was already up. Before she went in, Jesus was already up waiting on her. So we have a patient God who's waiting on us. Oh, you are too quiet for me today. Jesus is waiting on Mary Magdalene. Mary Magdalene, the Bible says that she was up early in the morning. But Jesus was already up waiting on her. So Jesus is waiting on her. Why was Jesus waiting on her, you may ask? I'm telling you today that we need to worship a patient Savior. He's patient with me. He's patient with us. Jesus got up early in the morning. And the question was that they put guards in the tomb because they thought that, well, if we don't have somebody guarding the tombs, they're going to take the body out. They're going to steal the body of this guy, Jesus. So the Romans said, we need to have soldiers there checking out the tomb. Because if the disciples try to break into the tomb, we have guards there. Are you guys following me? Right? So Mary Magdalene said, I gotta go there. I have to reach there. I got to see my Savior. I need to see him. But Jesus was already up. Jesus was waiting. Now, early in the morning, the Bible said. And now Jesus is saying, well, I need to wait for somebody. I need to wait for somebody who be my witness. I need somebody to see that I am alive. That I am alive. That I promise that I will come back on the third day. So I need to wait on somebody to see and testify that I am alive today. So Jesus was waiting on Mary Magdalene. He was waiting on her. So Jesus was waiting. And since Jesus didn't have anything to do, just waiting, he started folding the napkins. Let me just wait for Mary to come. I don't have a way to go, but I need to wait on her. She needs to see that I am alive. She needs to bring the good news to the other people saying Jesus is alive as his promise. So he is waiting on her. Oh, so many of you know that Jesus is waiting on you. I know he's waiting on me. to fix my mess. He's waiting on me just to come closer to him. And he's just waiting on me to understand that he is all I need in my life. He's just waiting on you. Jesus is waiting. And he's folding the napkin now. So we have a patient Savior who's waiting on us. Second reason why we need to worship God today is he's a promise-keeping Savior. Oh, come on now. He's a promise-keeping Savior. He said that he will come back alive on the third day. So when Mary saw this, he's like, he's alive. She went back to the disciples and said, he is alive. But they did not believe. Let me ask you, who was the only person who saw Jesus alive when she went to the tomb? Mary. Peter was there, but they didn't see Jesus. And John, they were not there. They couldn't see Jesus. Mary was the only one who saw Jesus. In fact, the Bible said that she was confused and crying that Jesus was talking to her, and she wasn't able to recognize that Jesus was talking to her. You guys read that before? When she said, it was you who took my master's body? Please tell me, where is it? Very interesting. We need to understand today that we are worshiping a promise-keeping Savior. We need to understand that we are worshiping a powerful God. A powerful God. This is what Ellen G. White says about this linen and this folding napkin. She says this. It's right on the screen. She says this in the Side of Ages, page 789. She says, it was Christ himself who had placed those grave clothes with such care. It was the Savior's hand that folded each and laid it in his place. In his side, who guys are like the star and anthem, there is nothing important, order and perfection are seen in all his work. So who was the one who folded the napkin? Jesus. Come on, church. Jesus folded the napkin. Now, you probably still don't get it. Why was Jesus folding the napkin? It was a message there. It was a signal. What does this have to do with my salvation? Why was Jesus waiting for Mary folding the napkin? He is a powerful Savior. He is a patient Savior. He is a promise-keeping Savior. But now, we need to understand why he was doing this napkin, why he was folding the napkin. Well, before we really understand what was going on with this napkin, we need to go back to the Hebrew traditions and the things that they used to do with the napkins. And Brother Jeremy, I'm going to use the wireless mic, so if you can, I don't know if it's working. All right. Can you hear me okay? All right. Praise God. So this is what the idea. And back in those days when people used to go to a restaurant or used to go out to eat, they were invited to a dinner. There was the table. Food was there and everything was nice, put it together. And the tradition was that the master who will come and sit down at the table, and he will have a servant boy. And the servant was just watching from the distance what was going on with his master. He was not supposed to be in the same room. He was supposed to be far away, just watching what was going on. So if the master was done eating, he would just take the napkin, clean his fingers, mouth, and if he just drop the napkin like this, it means I'm done. I'm finished. You can come and clean the table. But if the master was eating and he, for some reason he just wanted to get up and said, I'm not done yet. Yeah. I'm not done yet. I enjoy the meal. Amen. I enjoy my time with you. I really have a good time eating at this house. I really have a good time eating with your family. But I just going to fold the napkins because it means that if I fold the napkin, it just leaving like that. I enjoy the meal. I enjoy my time with you.
and I've done eating yet, I am coming back.
Amen.
So when Jesus is in the tomb, he's saying, I am folding the napkin.
Amen.
The message is clear. I'm not done with you yet. I want to come back and eat with you yet. What a mighty God we have. Praise the name of the Lord this morning. He is a wonderful God. He is a promise-keeping Savior. And he said, he will come back. You better be ready, brothers and sisters, because the tomb is empty. The message is clear. He's coming back. God bless.
Thank you, Lord, because as we take part on this service today, we want to remember what you have done for us. Today we want to remember what you still do with us every day.
Yes.
Help us, Lord, to remember your sacrifice, your love, your unfailing love for each one of us. Help also to remember that you're coming back for us, that you have prepared a welcome table so we can sit down and finish that meal with you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
So we will now separate for the ordinance of humility, which will take place downstairs.